How many of you actually have coordinated a drill of an IT emergency before? Something as big as a natural disaster or as small as a power outage in a primary data center? How many of you have not coordinated a drill but been the central hub of communication during a zombie apocalypse? Yep. I love this crowd. So I should preface this by saying, my current job is not actually coordinating emergency drills and designing emergency processes. I'm currently working at a startup company designing new business processes, which has certain parallels to designing emergency operations. My background is in system administration and business processes, project management, knowledge management at large universities, and small startup companies. And most recently was the Great Shakeout 2011. How many of you know what the Great Shakeout is? You can spot the Californians from a mile away. All right, so the Great Shakeout is actually a very big earthquake drill. There are all kinds of other smaller disasters to prepare for. So I'm gonna try and put some context around this talk. First, I'm gonna give some contextual definitions of these terms. I know within different industries, we use different words to describe these things. So first I'm gonna talk about the goals and the people involved in emergency response, emergency operations, business continuity, sometimes this is called BCP, or business continuity resiliency, and then DR and IT architecture. So that's the nuts and bolts of IT infrastructure that is to prepare the systems and networks for emergencies. And those are the kinds of talks and expertise that I've routinely encountered at LISA conferences before, and I'd like to get the business context wrapped around that in this talk. And then emergency planning and drills, and of course, the zombie apocalypse. So what is emergency response? Emergency response is the first thing that happens after an event. This is usually life safety, locating people, making sure that they have food, shelter, first aid, counting noses and making sure you know where everyone is. The people involved in this, if any of you have a colored vest stored at your desk, raise your hand. Yeah, there's quite a few of us. I became a yellow vest wearing member of the club at my very first job outside of college. I walked in the door and there was this lovely Hanukkah candles burning and a month-old Christmas tree with no water in the bottom of it, right next to each other, along with some unlit Kwanzaa candles. And I said, oh great, we have this wonderfully diverse office. Where by chance is the nearest fire extinguisher? And they said, congratulations, you're now the safety officer. Thanks, have a vest. So anybody who has an interest in preparedness gets pulled into this, but also security staff, safety staff, local authorities, federal authorities if you're dealing with a really big emergency. There's an alphabet soup of community preparedness acronyms that you probably need to look up if you don't know what they are. CERT, C-E-R-T, is a wonderful one. So after you have immediately responded, then emergency operations comes into effect. And specifically for information technology, the goals for this type of phase are assess, report, and recover. And I managed to get some of my drill participants to be very enthusiastic about this because it's a pirate acronym. Arr! Assess, report, recover. So for people, meaning your staff, your contractors, your visitors, the places, your facilities, where those people are and where they have the capacity to work, and things. By things, I mean the prioritized, critical, most important business functions of your organization. Sometimes these are IT services, sometimes these are a business function that could be accomplished by multiple IT services. And who is this? This is everybody you can get your hands on after the emergency has happened. So these are your normal operations people, but they also, this also may include outside teams that you bring in to help yourself recover after an event. Let's talk about business continuity. This is a buzzword that sometimes gives IT folks the heebie-jeebies. It's a lot of analysis, but really, if you boil it down to the simplest possible goal, If you are doing a business impact analysis, if you are doing business continuity analysis, if you are analyzing the resiliency of your company, the one question you are really trying to answer is, where are our priorities? Then you're going to analyze the risks to those priorities. Note, you're not trying to analyze the risks to every single thing you do. Analyze the risks of the most critical, important business functions that your organization does. So, where are our priorities? What's most likely to significantly adversely affect them? And then, once you have those two things together, get some more acronyms, RTO and RPO. So, how much time's worth of data can we lose, and how long can we tolerate this being down? Those are the really, really important questions to answer about the most critical business functions. So, I have a university example. Communicating to staff, faculty, students, parents after an emergency is a really important function. That is usually accomplished via a website, the communications office that approves all the verbiage that goes into it, probably multiple groups of people who are all involved in running the database that backs the WordPress, that backs the this, the that, the load balancer, and all of those things. That's under normal operations. During an emergency, there may be a secondary website on another coast that comes up when the DNS for the first site goes down, and there's a handful of people with a password who can get in and update really short text blurbs to say, yes, there's a situation. Yes, your child at college is okay. Yes, we will update more when we know more. So those kinds of emergency operations and normal operations may involve different IT infrastructure, but the business function of communicating to specific audiences is your critical business function. So, who is involved in business continuity planning? A lot of the time, someone brings in an outside expert. They have certified business continuity analysts who come in with clipboards and say, okay, tell me your top 10 services. Tell me your top 5 functions. And if that outside entity is the only person who is involved in writing those lists, you're in trouble. You need the technical folks involved in that process. You need the folks with budgetary sign-off over those functions involved in that process. When you write down what your priorities are and have it in writing and have all of those different people look at it, sometimes it will uncover the fact that the different folks have made different assumptions about what your priorities are. So bring in the folks who are in charge of routine updates to your plans, your disaster plan that's updated by whoever got stuck with it last, right? Bring them into this process. Bring them into the room with the folks who sign off on the money that comes in and goes out when these plans are executed. Also, cookies. Bring cookies to these meetings. Figure out the dietary restrictions of the people who are involved. Bring treats they can eat. These meetings go much more smoothly when they're happy and their mouths are full. So, disaster recovery. Oh, I bet I can get most of the hands in the room up on this one. How many of you designed a disaster recovery for some of your services? Yeah, good. How many of you designed a disaster recovery for all of your services? Yeah, wow. I'm impressed. There's a few. So, the goal of disaster recovery and designing resilient IT infrastructure is to make sure that the services are resilient. The business process managers, the emergency planners, and the IT experts are all involved in designing the DR solution according to the priorities of the services that you provide. So, where does emergency planning fit into all this? Because we have emergency response, emergency operations, business continuity, DR. Where does emergency planning bring all that together? So, someone in your organization, in one of those earlier groups, by default or by statement, is the leader in emergency planning. This is the person who, for all intents and purposes, is the most interested person doing these things. They are trying to bring all these disparate pieces together. It crosses org chart functions, it crosses technical expertise, it crosses managerial boundaries, but bringing all of that together is important. Because when you have an emergency, you don't want to have to be inventing this all for the first time. So someone near the top of your organization is going to have to say, if we want a real emergency plan, we're going to have to make it a priority, and one person is going to have to design a drill. Oftentimes, that's whoever picked up the marker or whoever happened to have a vest on the last time there was an emergency situation. So, if you are that person, and I have been that person a couple of times in a couple of workplaces now, hope for the best, cope with the worst, but plan for the likely. In California, we don't often need to plan for hurricanes. In Florida, they plan less for earthquakes. All over the place needs to be planning for unexpected power outages to a single building. That tends to happen quite frequently all over the place. And emergencies come in all shapes and sizes. If you are going to be designing a drill, your first ally that you need to seek is the person who will be the leader of your emergency operations center. That cannot be the drill facilitator. This is the person who is pretending they are living in the moment of the emergency. And that needs to be a different person than the timekeeper who is saying, okay, the emergency starts now, click. So you find your allies. You meet with that person or people to design your emergency operations center, if you don't already have one. Some places have a plan for this sort of thing. Other places don't. The first few times I was asked to organize drills, we did not have an IHQ design or an EOC design at all. We said, we're going to use that conference room, or we're going to use that pop-up tent in the parking lot. And that was all we had. So learn from the other experts. Other industries have invented this wheel already. We do not have to start from scratch. So the Incident Command System, the National Incident Management System, all of these have wonderful plans and vocabulary that you can use and integrate into your IT plans. Specifically, folks who have the wildfire command posts for actual forest fires have great standards for how to set up an emergency command post. And they offer classes too. So you've got a plan, you've got your person who will be coordinating that EOC during your first drill. You design your EOC, now you show it off in a non-emergency setting. You set it up, you have an open house for your EOC. This is another excellent opportunity for cookies. Set out food, set out drink, say, when the zombies come, this is what we're setting up. We're going to have a station for first aid. There's going to be water. There's going to be food. There's communications flowing in and out of our organization through this desk or this ICQ channel. These places don't have to be physical. They can be. They can be online. But have three stations, people, places, things. Your staff status station, your facilities status station, and your critical business functions station. Sometimes I abbreviate that to services, but it's really important to bear in mind it's business functions, not a single IT service. So lead guided tours of this center. Publicize the upcoming drill schedule. Drills are your opportunity to have little mock emergencies that people know about ahead of time. They can wear comfortable shoes to your drills. They may not have comfortable shoes on during an actual emergency, but let them know, we're going to have a drill on this day. This is what we're going to be doing. We're going to be meeting in this room. I promise it'll start on time, it'll end on time. You'll have fun, you'll learn stuff. Thank you for participating. Thank you for coming to our open house of our Emergency Operations Center. So, what kinds of drills do we want to have? Life safety drills should be happening in your organization already. Fire drill evacuations of your building are one. But the goal of a life safety drill is to ensure your organization can meet the basic emergency needs of the people who are part of your organization. A lot of places say our people are our top resource. Lots of working groups say our people are our most important asset. Life safety drills are your way of saying when we have an emergency, our people come first. We make sure that we find all our injured people, we make sure they have first aid, that kind of thing. So, you may already be having these kinds of drills. Most California businesses of certain size have an earthquake drill where simply everybody crawls under the desk for a few minutes. They count make sure everybody is under there, and then everybody comes back out from under the desk, and they count and make sure no one hit their head getting out from underneath the desk. And sometimes they'll set up the first aid center to handle the bumped heads from clambering under the desk during the fake earthquake. So these kinds of drills probably are already happening. If you are in the IT department and you're not already involved in those drills, figure out who is. Figure out what your company or your university is already doing, and dovetail in the staff that might be in your working groups who are already cert trained, who are already first aid trained, who are already participating in those drills, into your IT drills. Get beyond life safety into the IT emergency drill. This is where the meat of this context comes in, where the pieces of the technology and the people and the communication can all flow together. So your goal during the basic drill is simply to prove that you can set up the emergency operations center, collect and communicate status about your people, places, and things, and then assign resources to fix the things that you've said are quote unquote broken in a prioritized way according to what is defined as a high priority. And then prepare to communicate with customers and outside entities. That's the whole goal of this drill. We're not actually turning off any services. I have to say, there are some papers and some presentations from Google about their exercises called DIRT. They sound amazing. They actually like flip a giant switch and turn off an entire chunk of infrastructure and pretend that that's just gone, and they switch over to other infrastructure. Most places are not at that maturity level for emergency preparedness. And these drills on how to do communications are a first step in getting you to that level. Some places will never get to that level of maturity. But if you can't communicate about the services that are up and the services that are down, simulating the services turning off and turning on without the communication piece is going to be a much more chaotic experience for everyone involved. And while you may have emergencies that will cause that much chaos, I don't recommend causing that much chaos on purpose. At least get the communications piece down first. So during a basic drill, you're trying to sort out who is available to help recover the priority business functions that we've caused to be impacted by this theoretical emergency. When you do your first drill like this, you're going to discover there's a lot of unknown terrain around you. Your organization may not have a list of your key people's contact info. It may be in the online directory, and if you've simulated that all of your internet is gone and your cell phones are on a network which is very overloaded, how do you get to that information? You may not have a service list, a comprehensive service catalog. You may not know, sort of from the top down, what are your top three business functions? What are your top three services? What are the IT services that roll up underneath that critical business function? That mapping is really important, and it's really hard to do, and it's really hard to keep up to date. Service management and change management and ITIL functions will help get you there. Your organization may not be there, and that's not an excuse to avoid IT drills. Identify your top few business functions, figure out which IT services roll up into them, and then figure out who is involved with supporting those functions, and just drill on that. You don't have to drill on breaking your entire infrastructure. Map only the terrain you need. Don't try to create a comprehensive service catalog if you don't already have one. You'll never get the drill done. Identify who in your organization actually has the authority to answer, what are our top business functions? Take that person out to lunch. Say, what are the top three? I just want to drill on the top three. Figure out what their recovery objectives are. And then identify if there are manual workarounds for those business functions. Because drilling on restoring a complicated service is different than drilling on the switch over from running it in you know, whatever technology you use, and switching over to a manual process. Your drills can simulate one or the other, or both. And this is big. Don't try solving all the problems. When you start sort of teasing the threads apart to figure out where are the priorities within your organization, who has the contact list? When is the last time we updated the service catalog? You're going to find all kinds of strange things. And that's going to be politically charged. That's going to be sensitive. That's going to involve budget things. Be very careful about this. Don't try to solve everything. You're just trying to do a basic drill. Tom in his evil genius talk said, don't reveal the whole plan, not all at once. Just start with a basic drill. So, design your theoretical emergency. This is where the game master stuff comes in. How many of you have done Dungeon Master games, Dungeons and Dragons, run a campaign, anything like that? It's okay to be a geek at Lisa. Yeah, okay. How many of you have dice at home with more than six sides? Yeah, that's us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fun. You're creating secret notes for your participants in the drill, which simulate updates from technical staff. We know the network in building 4 is not working. Building 3 had the sprinklers go off. Our call center is all standing around in the parking lot. Those are the kinds of notes that these are, and they're timestamped. Chart out the secret notes ahead of time. Plan out what alerts you want to be coming in to the people who will bring them to your emergency operations center before the drill. Because you're going to compare after the drill. Did your command post accurately summarize that information and pass out a status update that reflects the inputs coming into it? Your EOC is kind of a black box, and the drill is simply to test if the information coming in can be sorted, prioritized, and summarized in an accurate and concise way to form a summary. Well, if you don't compare before and after, you have no quantitative metrics to prove that your drill is actively helping your organization. So allow time at the start of the drill to explain what the drill is, and time at the end of the drill to compare and to do a lessons learned. Your drill participants are going to have all kinds of amazing ideas at the end of the drill as to how to make it better next time. You need to capture that at the time of the drill, because the next day they will have forgotten. So, this is an example secret note chart. Note that this drill is an hour. You can do a full day drill, you can do a half day drill. If you have to, you can do a half an hour drill. It's really tough to get it done in half an hour. But you can do a drill in an hour. So, in this organization, I've simulated there's a facilities team, there's a voice and network team, there's sysadmin and DevOps, there's DBA, there's apps. This actually fits in really well with your flat organization, right? You have an EOC leader as well. These are the activities that will happen for or by those people at the following timestamps, where your drill facilitator introduces the drill and hands over control to the EOC leader. That you can do in 10 minutes. And then every 10 minutes, your participants open a secret note. Oh, I've gotten an update from my team. They've been evacuated from their building. I need to go over to the facilities station and tell them there's a problem with building 3. And I need to go to the people station and say, I've found all my people except for X, Y, and Z who are on vacation this week at Lisa giving talks, right? There's a status report checkpoint at 3:30 and at 4:30 in this chart. Your EOC leader has a responsibility to go to the stations and summarize what information has come in as of that timestamp and actually write down a little quick report. And then at 3:40, you say, thanks, everybody. We know that we've gotten all these reports that everything is broken. This drill does not require you to simulate fixing them. We're just comparing the reports to the summary. Actually compare them and then conclude the drill on time. Very important. So, do a basic drill. Wait a couple months, do another one. Designate someone in each of these drills to capture the lessons learned in real time at the time. Then you're going to need to have a follow-up with the folks who control the resources to actually follow up on the drill. because not all of the suggestions are going to be enacted. Not all of the lessons learned are going to have the resources necessary to fix some of these problems. But as long as every drill gets better and your services get more resilient, these drills are accomplishing their goals. So let's say you've survived a couple of these basic drills and people are like, yeah, you know, the last time we had a power outage, it actually went really smoothly. We knew what was up, we knew what was down, we knew who was missing, we could get a hold of the people who were their backups, and we got things up and we were able to clearly articulate what we were doing to fix the situation. This is great. We need a more advanced drill. This is an interesting one. Combine the first aid drill with your IT drill. If you have your first aid station with people with simulated rubber injuries, cuts and fake ketchup blood and all that sort of stuff happening concurrently and next to your emergency operations center, there doesn't have to be any further interaction than that. I guarantee you, your IT drill will go differently simply because there's that distraction. There are people over there giving fake CPR to a dummy. And you want to know what's going on with the email server. What are they doing over there? Those sorts of distractions are a good thing to practice so that the first time you see them, it's not going to be a huge thing. Oh, well, there's truckloads of water and chocolate bars coming in. You want an update on the network in what building again? So simulate all of those things happening at the same place at the same time. That's a good advanced drill. And this is a caveat. Different workplaces I've been at have had different policies about simulating injuries and simulating death of employees. I don't recommend simulating death of your employees. Even randomizing that is a very touchy subject and may involve human resources and lawyers and things. So simulate unavailability of your employees. They could have a minor injury, they could have a family obligation, they could have a freeway that has collapsed between home and work. If they can't get to your main building, they may actually be a resource. If they have functioning internet at their home and you can get text messages back and forth to them, and no one at your main facility has internet access. So during the drill, most of our directors actually tried to figure out where their employees were. Some of the staff comes in at a certain time, some of them are on a shift change, some of them weren't there yet, some of them were at conferences. Figuring out where their employees actually were on the day of a drill proved to be a little more challenging than some of our directors had expected. So, advanced drills can be intense. You don't want to be constantly drilling. You don't need one of these a month. Good heavens, no. You may need one a year. The Great Shakeout is once a year. If it's appropriate to your organization, go for the guru stuff. Go for the advanced levels. Achievement unlocked, right? Prepare to interface with the media. Because if your emergency is big enough that the media cares about it, prepare for that in advance. You don't want to be figuring out who's going to talk to the news vans on the day of. Introduce conflicting status updates into your emergency operations center. Oh, building 3 is fine. No, building 3 is evacuated. Back in the day, the Halon dumped. No, the building is fine. No, it's not. If a certain person who is responsible for people who are in that building is getting conflicting updates during a drill, figure out how they resolve that. Practice how to resolve that. Do you send someone over to the building to see? Do you send text messages to your employees that have offices in that building? What do you do when you get conflicting information into a headquarters? And here's where the dice come in. Introduce variable delays in when they get to open their secret notes. This is when the D10s come into play, which reminds me, I have some of these. If anybody has really good questions, you get a D10. If you would normally be opening your secret note at 3:10, and at 3:10, you have to roll a die and see how many minutes it took for your staff member to get that update to you, suddenly this drill is a highly more variable thing. Encourage that participation, encourage that creativity. It makes people think. Holding people's interest during these drills can be a real trick. And simulate lack of personnel or facilities. Use plenty of dice on this one. So, the zombie apocalypse. It's a great headline, right? We're gonna simulate the end of the world and then simulate power going down in your primary data center. Prepare for the most likely. If your organization thinks that the zombie apocalypse is the most likely event that could take out your business, by all means, drill on it. But it's more likely that somebody's gonna burn a Pop-Tart, there's gonna be a false fire alarm, you're gonna have to evacuate your call center, and your call center is either gonna slip over to being off the off-site solution, or you're going to be answering cell phone calls for your call center in a parking lot. That's far more likely. Drill on the likely. Find your most important business critical functions, those IT services that roll up underneath them, and drill on those. Here's an important one. When you're writing the secret notes, it's my experience, painful experience, observing a drill where IT services, which were a prerequisite to another IT service, were marked as down, and the service which sat on top of it was marked up. And 3/4 of the drilled participants checked out. They said, this doesn't make any sense. We're simulating nonsense. I'm off for coffee. So make sure when you're writing your secret notes that they technically make sense, but keep things a little lively, a little creative. Simulate a falling satellite, talk about zombies, mix it up a little. I think we have some time for questions. Thank you.
Hi, Adele, Mario at Raytheon. Have you ever participated in the InfraGuard exercises? Because, I mean, what you're describing here is almost exactly them in tabletop form, and if people aren't familiar with them, it's a great way to have some other organization do one, and then it's a good warm-up.
That is an excellent suggestion. I haven't had that opportunity yet. A lot of these sort of hard-earned lessons were me getting pitched in the deep end at various organizations I happened to be working in. Preparing for the drill was called a project a couple of jobs ago, and I was their project manager who happened to also wear a safety vest, which is how the project came to me.
All right, so I guess InfraGuard, InfraGuard, is done with the FBI present and other members, and it's a very good way to do one of these tabletop exercises.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Zach from Qualcomm. How would you recommend, or would you recommend, running some sort of an infrastructure drill like this on smaller teams? Because if your organization is not doing this already at a high level, like at the level of the director of infrastructure, it might be very difficult to make that happen, but maybe at a smaller scale it'd be easier to do it, but at the same time there might not be the same simulation ability when you're looking at a smaller team of maybe 20 to 30 people.
Right.
How would you recommend to get started in doing these kinds of drills with a smaller team?
That's a good question. Most of my experience has been the larger organization said, go forth and do this. One thing that has come up more recently in our smaller company is that we're finding we need to prepare for our office being unavailable. And that can happen for a number of reasons, right? And simulating that prior to it actually happening for a small company was a useful exercise. Figuring out even a mid-level manager or a team lead who wants to do this kind of a short drill, the basic drill, can do it without the larger organization really being involved. And actually, if you can showcase two drills by that small team with the full participation and buy-in of someone in the management chain and show improvement, that can be presented as a brown bag lunch to other managers to say, hey, my team did this. We're getting better at responding to unexpected events. And if you have a real event, do a postmortem that says, we use the skills we learned in this little drill. And when you can shop that around to other managers and shop that around to directors, metrics, money efficiency, service uptime, those kinds of metrics sell these drills ideas very, very clearly. So get some numbers around it.
Yeah, and it does seem like just getting the names of the people that are involved in an emergency so that your manager knows who to start calling.
Right.
Something that a lot of people probably aren't doing today, and that doesn't even, you can do it as a drill, but it doesn't even need a drill to do that. It just needs some communication.
Right, right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Steve, okay. I'm with myself this year. So one of the things I would say is, in addition, having been on a disaster response team before, one of the things I would say is, in addition to bringing cookies, if you're going to do this kind of like as an IT drill, bring tech. I worked for Cisco. My previous job was at Cisco. I was there for almost 5 years, and as soon as I found out that they had a disaster response team, what they called the DIRT team, I signed up, and they have like some of the coolest stuff there. They have this end of the world apocalypse van that they call the Nerve, which has a satellite connection, has one of the high-end Cisco telepresence units in it. It's basically, it's a big, huge, it's like a big, huge international harvester. They custom built this thing. It has like its own gas generator. It has its own 220 and 240 power. It has a raft of forest of antennas across the top. Mm-hmm. Has a voice over IP built in, wireless. You can set up their own Wi-Fi, and it has enough cargo space that it has like all the antennas that you need to like set up a small wireless network for building disasters. And we actually did use it once while I was there, because they actually did have the building, the network connectivity, wired connectivity, and one of the buildings went out. We just drove the van out into the parking lot, set up the wireless network, put up the mast, and they had wireless access for the entire building back into the Cisco corporate network. And so not everybody, this is kind of a unique thing. Cisco, a company of like 70,000 employees, you have an executive director, and you have enough people and enough money to say, yes, go ahead and build something like that. So not everybody can do this. But if you're going to do like the day-long thing, and you're going to coordinate with emergency response people in the parking, you're going to be doing like the injuries in the parking lot kind of thing, bring a couple wireless access points. If you don't have access to your building, bring some wireless access points and have people set something up on the roof, or even just pointing out a window, mm-hmm. and game out, how you would, if everybody's been stuck in the parking lot for the day or more, how are you going to get back into your network resources? So in addition to cookie, and that actually drew a lot of people. There's a bunch of people always show up for the drills. So, yeah, in addition to cookies, bring tech.
Bring tech. That's a great suggestion. Some universities actually have an amateur radio club, the ham radio operators, and the university taps that resource for their emergency drills and their actual emergency operations. They wear the black vests. Looks very snazzy. And the critical places on campus knew that when all other communications were out, the amateur radio club had a short list of the prioritized locations on campus, and they were going to do their very best to get a radio operator to each one of those locations. It's an amazing resource that people hadn't been thinking about before the amateur radio club said, hey, we have cool toys. Do you need us? Any other questions? Well, if you think of any other questions, I will be at the MetaCloud vendor booth in the expo this afternoon. So bring your questions, and if anyone would like some D10s, if you don't have enough at home already, come up.